Last week, we discussed the ideas of some foundations that we need to have in order to teach the gospel. Foundations that we need to have in common with the people that we're trying to teach in order to make progress. The first foundation that we talked about was that of the belief in God, who God is, and what God does, and God's personality. We also talked about the idea that we have to have a commonality of authority, that God has given us His Word. And without that belief, we also cannot then manage to teach somebody because we would have no authority to which to appeal to. And the final idea, that we had discussed, is that of Christ and His resurrection, that that is the essential part of what Christianity is about. The belief that Jesus lived on this earth and that He died on our behalf. What we're going to look at today is a fourth foundation. And if you start thinking about it, why would anyone believe us if we do not live in accordance to what we claim that we believe? If we're going to teach the gospel and we don't actually live the gospel, why would anybody believe us? Take a look in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6 and in verse 46. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" We use the term Lord kind of casually. We understand that's Jesus' title. He's Lord. But think about what Lord means. Lord means He's the ruler of our kingdom. He's the ruler of our lives. If we're going to address Jesus as Lord, then we need to address the fact that He rules over us. Let me get my slides up now that I can. And you can follow along with the passages. So what we have to understand is we're the world's Bible, the song that we sang at the beginning of the worship today. Even people who never pick up the book can learn of its contents through our lives. For example, in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, and in verse 16, it says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." People look at what we do, the good deeds that we do. And we do them because God told us to do it. We do that because it's what is recorded in His Word. We do that out of our love for Christ. Based on each of those foundations, we then live and apply that to other people. In 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And starting with verse 15. It says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and keep a good conscience, so that in the things in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." I want you to take notice of that. We oftentimes just read verse 15. We are ready to make a defense of the gospel. But it says, and with a good conscience. When people see how we behave and how we act, it makes an impression on them. When everybody else in the office is losing their cool, And the Christian stays calm and takes care of problems. That makes an impression on people. When everybody else is using profanity and the Christian is not, that makes an impression on them. In fact, in Colossians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 6, it says, "Let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how that you should respond to each person." How we speak impresses other people with what a Christian ought to be. And finally, in Philippians chapter 2, Philippians chapter 2, and in verse 14, "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world." Notice how it starts out. Do all things without grumbling and disputing. Our attitude is something that people take notice of. In fact, Peter tells us that people can be won over without speaking a word. In 1 Peter chapter 3, 1 Peter chapter 3, and starting with verse 1, it says, "In the same way you wives, be submissive to your husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives, as they observe your chaste and respectful behavior." And it's not just between husband and wives. People observe us. And just the way we behave can win people over to something that's greater than they are currently. In fact, back in Proverbs 11, it talks about the fruit of righteousness. Fruit is what is produced. What is the result? And in Proverbs chapter 11, and in verse 30, it says, "The fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he who is wise wins souls." What we produce is a tree of life. We produce eternity for people by the righteousness that we live. And so we must become changed people. We understand that God is the God who created the universe, that the Bible is His Word, that Jesus died for my sins. If I'm going to teach other people and so that they understand that, they have to see that I'm different from the rest of the world. Too often we think we're going to win people by becoming like them. After all, we're going to be buddies, right? But what the Bible teaches is we have to be something different that they want to aspire to. So in Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 17, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. "So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding, excluded from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardness of their heart. And they, becoming callous, have given themselves over to sensuality for the practice of every kind of impurity with greediness. But you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught in Him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance to the lust of the deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness and the truth. Therefore, laying aside falsehood, speak truth with each one of you, with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And he goes on and lists other things that we need to change. We did not learn Christ by behaving like Gentiles, by rubbing elbows with other people who are living a worldly life. And so why expect anyone else to learn it that way either? We demonstrate how God, through the gospel and the resurrection of Jesus, changes us into people that we would never have been on our own. People that other people admire and want to be like. And so the Word then becomes who we are. Take a look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 21. Therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness, in humility receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. But prove yourselves to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Is engrafted in us, is embedded there, is a part of who we are. I was talking to a young man just yesterday. Oh, I know I need to follow after what Christ comes, but I want people to see who I am. Well, who are you? Are you like them or are you someone different? And the more we talk, the more he realized who he is who God made him to be. The Word dwells in us. Take a look at Colossians 3. We have that for our scripture reading. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. How? With all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Why is it, have you thought about it? How is it that we, with singing psalms, the word of Christ dwells in us richly? Because most of us can remember songs. We can remember the words to songs because the tune helps us. The songs that we sing are based on what the scriptures teach. Some of them are just rewritings of some of the psalms. Some of them are recombinations of teachings and phrases that are found in the Bible. Some of them teach the spiritual concepts that are found within the scriptures. But they come to mind. I don't know how often, sometimes somebody will say something and a song will just pop up in my head. Those teachings become embedded in us. They dwell in us. We ought to allow that to happen. So there's no longer we who live, but it's Christ. Take a look at Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. One of the songs we sang just took that verse. This is how we become somebody different. Each foundation that we go through, each one is critical, each one is important. We have to come to a commonality with the ones that we're talking about, even when we're talking about our lives. If people don't see Christ in us, we don't have a basis from which to start talking. about how we live and how they ought to live. So each foundation becomes important in our studies with other people. I hope you'll think about these things. If there's anyone here today who is not yet a child of God, there is no better time than right now to put on Christ. And for those who are children of God and would like the prayers of your brethren on behalf, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song, Let's Elect.